So Babylon was particular interest to Assyria for a number of reasons. But a lot of it was the fact that they saw Babylon as their cultural superiors and they found that really problematic and wanted to control it particularly. And so it was quite reciprocal that the Babylonians, or that the resistors within Babylonia, found it particularly upsetting to be under Assyrian control and resisted particularly heavily. And in the course of the 7th century BC, the Assyrian kings attempted various ways to control Babylon, including kidnapping Marduk himself and trying to take over all the powers of the god Marduk, giving them to the Assyrian god Ashur, rewriting the Babylonian epic of creation to feature Ashur, remodeling Ashur's temple so that the epic of creation could be acted out in there, etc. And this was under King Sennacherib in the late 8th, early 7th century BC. He died soon after a very bloody palace coup, and the son who eventually succeeded him, Esarhaddon, took this as an omen that Sennacherib had been getting it all wrong, and actually the way to control Babylonia wasn't through trying to pretend that Marduk, the Babylonian god, didn't exist, but to become a Babylonian king himself and to re-establish Marduk on the throne. So he spent a lot of time and resource reconstructing the city of Babylon, which Sennacherib had destroyed, and setting himself up and then his two sons to rule Assyria and Babylonia equally. So King Ashurbanipal in Assyria and King Shamash-shumukin in Babylon, and the idea that they would be twins. And this was meant to solve the Babylonian problem, enable Babylonia to feel that they were special and everything would be fine. And Esarhaddon, when he made this decision, made everybody who was anybody in Assyria swear an oath of loyalty that they would uphold this. However, within about 10 years, Ashurbanipal, as king of Assyria, was not at all happy about this and decided to reconquer Babylon himself and depose his brother. So this was more bloody civil war and sieges of the city and the poor city and the citizens of the city of Babylon were under extreme distress again. So they essentially ended up in the 640s BC bankrupting Assyria, essentially, because they were pouring endless resource into destroying Babylon, rebuilding it, destroying it again, and not getting anything much out of it in return. Meanwhile, there's a formerly loyalist family who had been city governors of a southern Babylonian city called Uruk, who had been running that city for the Assyrians and running as city governors and as the chief priests of the temple. One of these men was called Nebuchadnezzar. Now, not our Nebuchadnezzar that we're going to talk about in a minute, but his grandfather. And his son, Nabopolassar, was supposed to succeed him as city governor, but was the first to lead rebellion, seriously successful rebellions against the Assyrians in the 620s BC. And he disowned his father, the older Nebuchadnezzar. And in his own inscriptions, when he declares himself king of independent Babylon, describes himself as son of a nobody, because don't mention my dad. And we also know we have letters from the time that describe his father, the elder Nebuchadnezzar, being dragged through the streets of Uruk, his corpse, and being torn to shreds by the angry, absolutely angry mob, people who, you know, had him down as a collaborator. This is only evidence that's come to light in the last 10, 15 years, and it's absolutely amazing to get this kind of eyewitness account of little bits, little glimpses of what it meant to resist Assyrian rule at the upper end and what the consequences of collaboration were and how then what became Nebuchadnezzar's dynasty just completely wiped their past as collaborators within the regime.